A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. When they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. We read this gospel, at least one of the versions of this, temptations in the desert, every first Sunday in Lent. It's probably one of the most familiar passages in the gospel to us all. And there's so many different levels this can strike us. For me, first of all, you know, this happens right after the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And I think all three of the accounts of the temptations say the same thing. The Spirit led Jesus out into the desert right after the baptism. Now remember, the baptism was so significant because that was when Jesus was made publicly manifest as the Son of God. The voice came down from heaven as he came out of the water, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And that was the identity of Jesus, affirmed publicly before all the Jews who were present, that Jesus had this unique identity as the Son of God. And now he goes out into the desert to face the temptations that you could say perhaps were temptations to act in a way contrary to that identity he had as the Son of God. And we can make our own parallels too, because all of us were baptized, and we are all given that identity as children of God. And then the temptations that we face are all attacks on that deep identity we have as members of the family of God, as children of God. And so this is like an instruction for all of us on how we're to reaffirm every day our identity as belonging to Christ, and how the devil is so subtle in trying to undermine that core identity we have, which is the foundation of our dignity and our pledge of eternal life. And this plays out in our lives over and over again. You know, Jesus goes out into that desert and he faces the devil. And at the end, it says so ominously, after these temptations, which Jesus repels successfully, the devil left him for a time. Minutes later in the gospel, we see exactly what that means. The temptation came back to Jesus during his passion and death, notably at Gethsemane and on the cross. On the cross, somebody shouted out, "If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross and save yourself." If you are the Son of God. That's the way the devil always leads. If you are truly a child of God, and the temptation comes, the temptation's always an attack on our identity. But Jesus, above all, is a man who clings to that first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me. And this is what we have to do too, to affirm our own baptism and our own identity as Christians. The first temptation seems the most pathetic one, really. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into a loaf of bread. And of course, Jesus is hungry after 40 days of fasting, and it's tempting. But the temptation is broader than that. Jesus has been sent into the world to save the world. And the temptation is to look after the physical needs of the people. There are so many people starving. Well, if you could only just feed them all and give them enough. That didn't work out so well during the Exodus, when the people were starving and God gave them manna from heaven. They didn't pick up on the deeper meaning of it. The next thing they demanded was water, when God gave them water from the rock. And after that, they were unhappy with the manna and they demanded meat, and God was angry, but he gave them quail to eat. This is a temptation for a leader to think that he can solve all the problems by just meeting the physical needs of the people. In another context, we call it bread and circuses. Keep them entertained, keep them fat and happy. And yet people are more than their physical needs. But this is a temptation, even for leaders in the church. Well, let's just look after the material needs of people. All this talk of sin and heaven and judgment. No, give them what they want. Keep them happy. And that's why we wind up with the world we wind up with, because we're not called to something transcendent so often. Our leaders in civil society know that to remain popular, they give people what they want. Lots of benefits, maybe loose restrictions on anything that gives pleasure. Could be pot, could be sex, easy divorce, gambling, access to abortion, IVF, contraception. Give them what they want. Then you're popular. That's a temptation for Jesus here too. Just give the people bread. It's a way you can control everybody. We can fall into that temptation too. Just to give in. Give everybody what they want. You won't have any pressure or hassle. The second temptation is even more pernicious though. The devil takes Jesus up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world that he can have if he'll just worship him. In other words, who would worship the devil except crazy people in satanic cults, right? So this one's hard for us to understand. But to worship the devil isn't just to bow down before some weird image of Bahomet, no, Satan. It's to play the game according to the devil's rules. And when he shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, he says, do it my way. And there's a clue in the names that we have for Satan. Satan, the word means the accuser. And we also call him the devil. The word devil means divider. So the accuser and the divider. Well, isn't that the way human political power works? Isn't that what we're used to in government and politics? Accuse and divide. Blame somebody from the outside. There's a temptation to go that way, raw power and politics. That's the devil's way, to run a society. Might makes right. But Jesus doesn't play that game. He doesn't use the human way of power. He calls us all to look inside ourselves instead of blaming the other. What about the interior of ourselves? Look in the mirror. Take a good hard look and don't be afraid to face that. Sure, it's much easier to crush the opposition, to blame somebody else. You can rally people behind that. So when the devil gives this temptation to Jesus, he's saying, play the game by my rules. And Jesus refuses. And he says, he affirms the first commandment again, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. You see, Christians are called to transform things and not just play by the usual rules. We have to transform structures and institutions and even government, not by accusation and division, but by forgiveness and reconciliation, to bring people together rather than put them at odds with each other. And the third temptation seems silly almost. It says, throw yourself down from the temple. Make a show of things. In other words, make a sign that'll convince everybody. But Jesus reaffirms that first commandment, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus knows that to save the world, he has to act like God. Love and peace and justice and forgiveness, imitating that aspect of God, and not just falling into the desire for affirmation. This temptation is essentially to call upon God to act like us. Give some great sign that we're right, Lord, so that everybody has to believe it. Affirm us publicly. Do a great miracle that'll convince everybody we're right and they're wrong. But God works through person to person. Create love and peace and justice and forgiveness. Jesus refuses to play by asking God for a great miracle. Come down from that cross and we will believe. Jesus doesn't want to use the human strategies. He sees those as too influenced by the devil. Jesus affirms his identity as the Son of God, and he acts on those principles. If we want to be followers of Jesus, we have to act the same way he did in the face of temptation, to affirm our dignity as children of God.